course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I'm one of your friends, Dave. Joined as always by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not doing too shabby. Just, you know, hanging out in the woods. Going to try not to kill any deer that might come to haunt me.
That's right. That's right. That is the hint that this episode we are reviewing Bambi the Reckoning. That's coming up later in the episode. But before we get there, Ike, did you watch anything else this week?
Oh, man. I'll say, honestly, I've been a little busy over this last week. We had some, you know, we just did a lot of stuff this last week and whatnot, so I didn't really get a chance to watch much other than, of course, the movie we reviewed. I think really the only thing I watched was the movie Fall from earlier this year, I think.
Oh, yeah.
It's on Peacock now. It was all right. It definitely didn't fit into the scope of horror, in my opinion. It was more of a thriller.
Yeah.
But I did, weirdly enough, this is sort of on subject, but also sort of not. In the movie, or not Fall, because Fall was the other one. It was called Drop.
Yeah.
Damn.
So
it was called Drop. But no, and Drop, okay. It has an actor named Brandon Sklenar in it. And he's often fan casted as the Batman for the new DCU. So. Huh. A lot of people think he's going to be the next Batman, so we'll see.
No, they need to give it to Jensen Ackles. No, I didn't watch anything. So easy enough, too busy, no time. Just watch nothing except for this movie. So nice and easy. Let's move on and take a break. When we come back, we'll get right to the news, the birthdays, the movie anniversary. So stick around. Make sure you subscribe to Listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. And welcome back with the news. All right, so we got some good stuff here. Mike Flanagan and Stephen King's The Life of Chuck is now available video on demand. I remember hearing about this, and it's got some pretty highbrow names in it, but I never got a chance to watch it, so. Glad it is on streaming. Can't go wrong with good old Mike and Steven combo.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to this. I remember hearing a lot about it. I've heard a lot of people say it was really good. I'm looking forward to seeing that soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good. Moving on to our other on-demand notice here is 28 Years Later is also available video on demand. So for clarification, these are your, you know, pay-to-stream type sites where you have to pay for the movie itself. So your Voodoos, maybe Prime, stuff like that. So, you know, that's good. Pretty quick turnaround. Hopefully it'll do good on streaming. I know they've already got the next one queued up for January, but yeah. Hopefully this will do good in on streaming, and we'll get even more.
Yeah. I mean, you know, 28 Years Later had a pretty good run in the theaters and the box office. So now let's see what it can do streaming wise. And I'm sure then it'll hit, in a platform later, probably in the year. So that will be good. But anybody that's interested, we do have a review in the archive for 28 Years Later.
Amen to that. Very good. Jumping now to The Monkey is coming to Hulu on August 7th. We did review this, so there is also a review that's in the archive. I do think that I'll have to give this a rewatch because I feel like I missed some stuff in that first watch. And so August 7th comes around, I will be watching The Monkey for sure.
Yeah, I liked it and everything else. But I also think it's probably one that definitely deserves a second watch to maybe take in a little more of it.
Absolutely. So, speaking of rewatches, Final Destination Bloodlines will be debuting on HBO Max on August 1st. In fact, all of the Final Destination films are on HBO Max. So once this releases on August 1st, which will be the day after release, you guys can go on HBO Max and watch the entirety of the Final Destination franchise, which, you know, we both really liked Bloodlines. And I think that it really was a very neat tied bow on everything. And, you know, it referenced pretty much every movie in some fashion. So I think that it was really well done. And I think a straight watch through of that whole series would be really great.
Yeah, it'd be fun. Yeah, I really like Bloodlines, but yeah, like I you know, referred to, there's also a review of that in the archives. So if you want to watch all these on the service and then listen to our review, and there you go, it's all there.
Amen. So moving now to some Friday the 13th news. It has been confirmed that a new Friday the 13th sequel and video game are in development, early development. This actually came off the rock of recently I heard that they were reopening the servers for the Friday the 13th game that was made by, I can't remember who made it. But it was really popular, and I remember the server shut down when the rights changed, and I remember they actually reopened them, if I remember correctly. So, you know, that's a fun time. But also it's exciting to see that they're still, you know, working on that as a video game IP versus just abandoning it. I think that the overall rebranding of the Friday the 13th universe is going to be really good, especially if they're, you know, open to, like we said, opening a new video game and, you know, going that whole route.
Yeah, I think this is all just a motion by the Jason universe to, you know, bring everything together under the umbrella, you know, unify where they can, but you do this big push, because I think this is like the 45th anniversary or something like that, I think, going on this year. And so, yeah, that's what they're doing. They've all this stuff all came from, you know, a panel at Comic-Con. So this was, you know, straight from the Jason universe guy's mouth. I can't remember his name, but you know, also what was that? Oh, that Sweet Revenge movie. Remember that was mentioned that we talked about, that short, that lots of people speculated. Apparently it's got some kind of sponsorship funding thing with like Angry Orchard. So everybody thought maybe it's just an extended commercial, but I guess at Comic-Con they implied it was maybe a little, it wasn't just that, it was an actual short of some sort. And we were going to see it right around the 45th anniversary. So I don't know. I think they gave the indication that it's a little more than just a glorified commercial, which a lot of people were afraid. So yeah, there's lots happening in the world of Friday the 13th right now, which is weird after having so many years of nothing. This is just so surreal to get just like so much stuff happening. Like when they say sequel, I'm assuming that's from the reboot. I think it's probably what they're talking, would be my guesstimation in that. I don't know whether they said or not. I'm kind of thinking where the movie stand right now is kind of from the reboot on now. I think that's maybe how some of this settlement rights split is occurring. It's kind of the vibe I got. I don't know. So I know once before it was mentioned about the sequel, and that it was to be they were hoping to do a sequel. They were planning to do a sequel to the remake reboot movie. So I think that's probably still, I would guess, the plan. And and I'm thinking Crystal Lake more ties into the older movies a little bit. I don't know. That's just my gut. But I don't care. Bring it all on.
I was going to say, I'll take anything at this point.
Yeah, I don't care what they do. Send him to space again. I don't care. I'll take it at this point.
Jason X part two.
That's right. But
good stuff. So hopefully we'll get some more information about that. I'd love to hear more about the game. And so we'll let you guys know what we hear. And other Friday 13th news, Zachary Branch has been cast as the adult Jason Voorhees in the Crystal Lake series. I don't know who this person is. And I think that's probably for the best. I think usually they kind of pull from, you know, a relative unknown person. Or somebody who works well under like prosthetics and makeup. I just looked him up on IMDb, and he was in that movie History of Evil,
Yeah.
which
Yeah, he's been in some
had
stuff. I
yeah.
don't know how prominently. But he's been out there. And I don't know the context to the adult Voorhees in the I'm they have said this before, right? That we will see an adult Jason. We will see Jason with the mask is what they I believe they've said. I'm not sure how that fits into the a prequel series. I don't know. How they're gonna do that, you know, what artistic ways. So we'll see.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know about this guy. I mean, is he one would think if he's an adult Jason, he would be under the mask and stuff or prosthetics and things. I don't know if he's a big guy. I don't know. I don't know anything about him.
Yeah.
Maybe that's my fault, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of seems like an average dude based on his IMDb. He doesn't, specifically look like a Kane Hodder or the fellow that played him in the remake, or but I mean, that's not to say this won't be a good interpretation. We'll just have to kind of see where he goes with it creatively, and I'm hopeful. They've been making some good choices so far, so I feel that it's probably in the right direction.
Well, and we also have to take into consideration, right? They say adult, by all accounts, in Friday 2, you know, with Baghead Jason, he's an adult.
Yeah.
So anything prior to that, I mean, you know, they could, the few years before that, he could be an adult. You know, so, you know, and that Jason was not necessarily a big hulking guy. So I'm wondering if this guy doesn't fit more into that timeline, right? Around. And some kind of between one and two-ish if there's some stories to be told there, you know what I mean? So I don't know. I don't know. It'd be pretty cool if Zachary gets to don the bag, but I don't know.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of material to pull from too. I mean, you have to think that there's a lot of versions of Jason, and perhaps even versions that we don't even know about yet. Perhaps they'll pull something out of their magical bag of tricks, but
Well, I mean, there's obviously a time jump between one and two, right? I mean,
right.
because at the end of one, he's, I mean, I know I get all that, but all we saw of him in one is him as the child leaving out of the lake. So we don't know exactly. I mean, I don't know. It's weird because no, I guess not, because we do see this the start of two. What's her name, right? Oh, I can't think of her name. But anyway, I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah,
So I
I
guess
know
it's
you're talking
not
about.
as big a time jump as I don't know. I don't know. I mean, again, we could sit here and babble and speculate, and they could totally come up with something different. But all we know is he's playing some form of an adult Jason.
Yep,
For
that
now.
is.
Yeah,
I was gonna say for now, but very good. So we'll hopefully get some more news about this. Maybe we'll get some pictures eventually once they actually get into the production of it. That's what I'm kind of waiting for. I'm waiting for some images to be released because that'll be the real telling point for me. I think a lot of the time, you can have a really great setup and that's really all you need. But I think for this one, we're going to need some plot details. We're going to need some pictures, especially since how long this has been going on. So we'll see.
This is not this is not your typical Friday movie where he could just go out and slash a few people and it doesn't matter otherwise. This is, you know, if you're doing a prequel, a little backstory leading to some of this, you know, I think you gotta it leans it's probably gonna lean a little heavier on story than your typical Friday movies and things do, right? Because it's gotta work. It's gotta be in line. It's gotta make sense. It's gonna be interesting to see what this is like. Because this is to me, this is a very different approach for these movies. Because, you know, I mean, after the first one, you know, all most people care about is Jason going to be killing some people? Ah, we're good, whatever. It didn't matter that much, you know, for everything else. People still went and saw it, but this is different. It's this is a it, this is a little more story driven, but they got to add some of that. So be curious to see. Perhaps we'll finally, that lost element of Jason's father, will he play into this at all? Will we see him at all? You know, there was that lost, that scrap storyboard from which one was it? Jason Lives? I can't remember which one it was. Remember that where they went to at the end of a movie onto the tombstone, and anyway, you find out or at the start of it, maybe it was at the start of the movie, but you find out the guy, the reason Jason has his tombstone and everything else is because secretly his father has been paying for all that. And
Yeah, I remember that.
they were going to introduce the father. So with this being a prequel thing, will we get to see his father? Will that maybe play, will there be some issues there to play into the twisting of Jason? It's odd, you know. There's lots of things that can happen. I never even really thought about the fact that they can bring in the father into this, in some capacity. Even if the father's not in the picture, even if he's not around, even if it was he took off or whatever it might be, we could still see him. So it's interesting. So I'm curious. I'm curious to what they do, and I can't wait to get more information.
Same. But all right. That's enough Friday 13 talk for now. So we will jump to our upcoming birthdays. We're going to jump first to August 2nd, 1939. We have Wes Craven, who was the director of The Last House on the Left, The Hills Have Eyes, Shocker, and Nightmare on Elm Street, Scream, and many, many more. Man, he's done a lot. So this is really a pretty iconic birthday. Just generally, I mean, he kind of invented sort of some of that shock horror, some of that grindhouse horror from the 70s, and eventually, developed into that sort of ambient horror that was, Nightmare on Elm Street, and even a little bit with Nightmare on Elm Street, it was a little bit of that meta-ness to it. But I think that he really drove the meta-ness home to the Scream franchise, which sort of, playfully makes fun of other horror movies and other slashers. So, it was kind of the beginning of that, and it's a very important, in my opinion, a very important director in terms of horror history.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Even if he had never done anything else, even if he hadn't done anything else besides just say Nightmare, that's iconic. Even if he hadn't done anything else besides Scream, well, that's iconic. But the dude did both of those. Not only that, did some of these other movies. I mean, all these other. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Just it's weird to think what horror would be like had it not been for Wes Craven. So, I don't know. I mean, two of the biggest franchises in history, two of the most iconic franchises, with including two of the most iconic characters in horror, at least got their start under his watch, under his direction, and his input. So that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. So happy birthday, Wes. And we're going to jump now to August 3rd, 1950. John Landis, who is known for his directing of An American Werewolf in London, as well as Mother's Death. Of course, American Werewolf in London. Dave and I both really like this movie. It was a movie I watched in the last few years that I'd never seen before. So it was really great to kind of sit down and see a little bit of a little piece of werewolf history, if you will. It's great movie. Can't say anything more about it.
Great movie. So, great job by John Landis directing it. Just spectacular.
Absolutely. Very good. Moving on to August 5th, 1935. Speaking of Nightmare on Elm Street, John Saxon, who is known for his role as the dad of the main character in One, which I cannot remember her name now, or his name. He was a sheriff. Fuck, what was the Heather Langenkamp's character's name? Shit. Okay. Well, anywho, that's character. That's character he plays. Plays her dad. He's a sheriff. He's also in Black Christmas, which I've seen as well. It's a good one.
Yeah, the original.
The OG, but John Saxon played. I'm pulling it up.
It's Nancy's her name.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't remember his name, but
It was Nancy Thompson. His was Lieutenant Donald Thompson.
oh, Donnie.
Oh, Donnie. But absolutely. I mean, we both like Nightmare, and he was in two of
Sure.
the best Nightmare movies, one and three.
That's right. And
I think he was in
he
New
was also in,
Nightmare,
yeah, New Nightmare. And yeah, he was in that. And I also love the original Black Christmas. So good on him.
Absolutely. So. Go ahead and give him a big happy birthday. Two Johns in a row, both very iconic. And let's see, there's another one. That's another birthday coming up. Oh, I can't remember the day. I remember the year. It was shortly after Moses parted the Red Sea. So sometime in the AD, but August 5th is Dave's birthday. So, oh man.
No connection in Moses.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You were in Jesus's graduating class. That's my bad.
It's, well, you know, he and I with the long hair and the beard, you know, we were the sitting in the back of the class raising ruckus.
That's right, the original hippies.
That's right.
But that's an
Have I ever told you there's a story of middle school where sitting in a class and me and a group of friends were right kind of in the back and we were, you know, chatting and carrying on. And they sent us, like, there was like five of us. They sent us out in the hallway and it was this really weird chemistry teacher and no, physics teacher. He was a physics teacher. And he came out there. We're all standing there, right? And against the lockers. And he's like, it's like out of a movie. He was walking up and down past us and everything. And he goes, "My, this is a motley crew." And of course, we all busted out laughing. Because at this time, of course, the metal band Motley Crue was huge. It just sounded very weird for this old physics teacher to be saying that, and that just pissed him off even more.
I was gonna say, I'm sure that did. I'm sure that made him happy.
Well, to be fair, though, I'm pretty sure at one point in time he had a mental breakdown, tried to throw a desk through a window, in the classroom during class. So, yeah, he had issues.
Sounds like it. I feel like I've heard you tell that story before, but
Yes.
you know that
There
that
was
is
also
funny.
some more salacious stories about his behavior we heard over the years, but I won't repeat those on air.
You're like, if I repeat it on air, that is in fact that's not a
I
libel or
will say
whatever.
one of them I did witness. It just let's just say that this physics teacher was a pervert.
Ah, yeah, that tracks.
And he liked to drop his ruler.
No,
That,
that's
and
good.
that's not like a euphemism. That's anyway, that has nothing to do with it. I don't know what we got on that. He said something about
Don't either.
classrooms, but
I did. I said that you and Jesus graduated together.
yeah, you know how it is.
I kid, but it's an exciting day for you though, and real life, and for the podcast too.
Sure.
Because
Big, yeah, I got a milestone birthday, buying a house on that birthday. That's just shit. Lots of going on.
gonna be a busy day, that's for sure.
Yeah, no lie.
No lie, but well, you get to share a birthday. I didn't know you shared a birthday with this person, but this is pretty cool. You do share a birthday, not born the same year. You were born a few years after, more than a few years, at least two
Yes.
decades.
Yes.
But August
Let's make
5th,
that
right?
abundantly clear.
But August 5th, 1951, you share a birthday with Catherine Hicks, who played Karen Barclay from the original Child's Play. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty neat. Also, though, John Saxon, though, that we mentioned, he's an August 5th birthday as well.
He is an August 5th birthday. I completely overlooked that. So you're kind of smack, you're a little bit over here. Well, I guess in the list here, you're smack dab between John Saxon
I'm the
and
young
Catherine.
one.
You are. You're the
Yeah.
youngest of them.
Yeah, those are a couple. That's pretty cool birthdays to share.
That's pretty cool. I honestly completely slipped in my mind that I just read John Saxon. Very
No matter
cool.
how old you get, it's always this weird thing, that, kind of this funny, odd, neat thing when you find out, you know, someone shares the same birthday as you. It's a celebrity. I don't know what it is. If it's a celebrity you like.
I was gonna say, as long as you like them, unless it's like, oh, I share a birthday with like Hitler or something, but very good. So we have a bunch of August 5th birthdays this week. That's cool. But moving on to our last birthday, not an August 5th birthday. We don't share a birthday with this guy. He's pretty cool though.
No.
But August 6th, 1970, we have M. Night Shyamalan, who is of course known for his many, many works, but Sixth Sense, Unbreakable, Signs, The Village, Knock at the Cabin, and many, many,
So many
many, many
more.
more. Oh man, I could spend all day listing off his works in the horror genre. But I mean, we talk about Shyamalan a lot. Anytime a movie comes up of his, it's we typically review it. It's just, he's got a lot of good shit going for him.
Yeah, and I think he's working on something now.
I believe so. I don't know what it is,
It's
but
like I think it's like a is it a romantic horror? It's something kind of different from him, but I don't know. Obviously known for the twist.
what a twist. It looks like he's working on something called Labor of Love. That might be what it is. Or Remain, perhaps. Those are a couple things that are on his projects there, or Reincarnate he's producing. So we'll see what's coming out in the near future. He, like I said, we love anything M. Night. So all right, that does it for our birthdays. So we have some upcoming movie anniversaries. Starting us off, July 31st, 1987. One of Dave's faves, The Lost Boys.
Oh, yeah.
Lost Boys is great. It's iconic. Has a lot of emphasis and I would say history to it. One of the best, I would say, alternatives to the traditional vampire depiction, and just an overall good movie.
I to me, one of the best depictions of vampires ever. They're cool, creepy, mean. Daredevil. I mean, it's just I like it. Such a good movie. Got such a great cast. So many good people in it. It'll probably never stop being my measuring stick for vampire movies.
Absolutely. It's actually weird because different generations, I feel like, have different, goalposts, if you will, for what a vampire movie should be. So this is your generation of this is what my vampire movie is. Very
Always,
cool.
always. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Bela Lugosi in the old school, and that, whatever that cryptic. I love that too. Don't get me wrong, but this is more dangerous. It feels, feels scarier. Even if they're not vampires, they're not dudes you want around anyway. So, it's just, and it's got the buff dude on the beach playing saxophone. Come on. It's got, the Corey's in it, and just such a good movie.
Absolutely. Very, very good. So, if you haven't checked it out, check out Lost Boys on its anniversary, the 31st. And we'll move on to another 31st anniversary, July 31st, 2009. The Collector, another iconic slasher in the genre. A little bit different, The Collector and The Collection. And then we have a third film coming out, hopefully in the next year or two, The Collected, I believe it's called.
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah, I think we talked about this movie quite a bit because we kept getting, up and down news about whether or not they were going to make a remake and that they were
Yeah.
talking about it. So, but
You
yeah,
know,
I
and
think we'll go ahead.
no, I'm just gonna say this is I we always the one thing we always bring up is that I think these are underappreciated movies. I really do.
Absolutely. 100% agree. But no, yeah, absolutely. Hopefully we get that third in the trilogy, the threequel. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what
We
happens.
got creep tape, so there's always hope.
Amen to that. Amen to that. All right, we're going to jump now to August 1st, 1986. We have Friday 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives. All right,
Pretty good one.
this is the one where it's Tommy Jarvis as an adult, right? And he stabs him,
Yes.
and he gets okay.
It
That's
gets hit
right.
by the lightning bolt. It's got the guy that was in Welcome Back, Carter, played Horse Shack. That's his buddy that
Yep.
gets killed, and the sheriff's daughter that is like completely a floozy that is into Tommy and the whole ordeal. But yeah, it's got Tommy, well, the adult Tommy after he gets out of the in the previous movie is when he's in the whatever you want to call it, the I don't know what was it, halfway house type thing? Wasn't that the one
Yeah,
before
well, yeah,
the what
one before he was like in a crazy house, wasn't he? Or not a crazy house, but kind of like a halfway house.
like a farm bed? Yeah, and he's that's where they tried the swerve without Jason being Jason, right? They the paramedic guy, wasn't that in five?
Yeah, that was in five.
Yeah, and then this one gets back to it with Tommy trying to make sure the job is done, but inadvertently brings Jason back. This is wormy Jason with the zombie Jason with the very wormy. It's actually a very cool looking Jason, I think.
It is very cool. I think it's one of my favorite interpretations of him for sure.
Yeah, he looks good.
But, well, all right. I think that does it for the August 1st birthday or anniversary, I should say, movie birthday. We have an August 2nd and 2 August 5th. So August 2nd, 1985, we have Fright Night. Again, this is on my list. I've never seen it, but I know Dave likes this movie.
Good movie. Yeah, good. Just a fun movie. Another vampire movie. But yeah,
Yep.
it's a good one. I like it. Me and that
Very good.
80s horror.
Can't beat it. All right. Now we have 2 August 5th birthdays, for I should say movie birthdays, anniversaries. I keep saying birthdays.
Good
Yeah, so
ones
these,
too. Both of these are good ones.
I was gonna say these came out both while you were alive, so this is
Ah,
interesting.
that's right. I love them both. So did Friday Night. So did Friday the 13th. All of these movies came out while I was alive.
But specifically on your birthday. So these
Oh,
movies would have
gotcha.
come out like on your birthday,
On my
like
birthday.
you,
Yes.
maybe not The Blob. I think you would have been, that's a touch too young to watch that movie.
I was
But it's,
13.
well, I mean, yeah, but you could probably couldn't go to a rated R movie at 13. You probably had to have your parents take you or something.
Yeah, they weren't going.
Exactly. So you
I
probably didn't get
actually,
to see the
I
first
actually,
one.
no. Well, I on home video when it came out, rent on a rental as a rental. So.
But so the first one, August 5th, 1988, was The Blob.
Great movie.
So great movie. It's a remake of the original,
Oh,
which is
an
from
old
like
one.
the 50s.
Yeah.
So
But the 88's so good.
it is. I've seen the 88, and I think I've seen the one that they made like in either the late 90s or 2000s, maybe. But this one is good. It's a very good one. It's been a while since I've seen it. I need to put it on my list to rewatch.
Yeah, 88's my favorite Blob.
The Blob. It reminds me of the character in the X-Men, the Blob. But not related whatsoever. But August 5th of 1998, though, we have Halloween H2O, which we both talk about being, one of our more appreciated Halloween films. Perhaps, it has its ups and downs, right? We talk a lot about how we just kind of felt like it didn't get the justice that it deserved. And Josh Hartnett didn't quite have the best haircut in that movie, that's for sure.
That's a little weird.
A little bit, a little funky, but still, nonetheless, a fantastic movie.
Yeah, again, I think it's we want to talk underappreciated. To me, it is such an underappreciated movie in the Halloween franchise. I love H2O.
Absolutely.
Even with the bad haircut. And I'm telling you, I know what you like. I know you like it, but I will take LL Cool J over Busta Rhymes every time.
No can do, mi amigo. Not yet. I will say H2O is a better movie than Resurrection. Like there's no doubt about that, right? H2O is objectively a better movie. It's just I have a very soft spot in my heart for Busta Rhymes and Resurrection specifically. There's a fantastic film.
I mean, LA's writing, erotic novels while guarding this school. I mean, what? Come on, dude.
Oh.
Read it to his girlfriend or wife or whatever over the phone.
Yep. And he's the one that let Josh
That's
Hartnett's character
right.
off campus for a little
That's
walk down at
right.
lunch.
Yep. He was responsible for letting Jason in, or John Jason Michael in, and everything, because he went and opened the gate to see what was going on with the truck. And But if I remember right, I think LL lived.
Yeah, he did. He did. He
Because he
almost
was,
dies. I
yeah, you
think.
think he dies. Or, it's kind of, I don't know. I kind of always, I assumed he died, but then he pops up kind of at the end and does some stuff. And then, like, I think right almost right at the end, isn't he like on the phone with his girlfriend again or his wife again or whatever?
Yeah,
And.
if actually, if I remember correctly, I think Jamie Lee Curtis's her love interest, I think his name's Will. I think he shoots LL Cool J.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, thinking it's Michael coming around the corner or something.
Yeah, and it's not. It's
Yeah.
just our boy Ronnie, and
Yeah.
he just gets shot.
But he lives. All's
Yes,
good.
he does. All's well that ends well.
It's a shame they never used him again.
It really is. It really is. And if anybody wants to watch this, it actually, you can watch it for free on Pluto TV. I saw that just while I was looking at it on IMDb. So
And
this
I'd
is.
highly recommend it. It's such a fun movie.
It is. But I love to see when those movies pop up on those free streaming services, just because it's just like, I don't know, just it makes me happy
Left.
that people can watch
Oh,
it, you know?
I love it how, because Lori is like, she's seeing Michael everywhere, right? Because of everything that happened. But I love that fucking scene when he's there and like she locks the door and then when she raises up and looks through the little window on the door and he's there and they're like standing on either side of the door staring at each other through that little window. I'm like,
Yeah.
fuck, that's a good move. That's a good moment.
That movie, I think, had a really good I think that movie, because don't worry, I love the newer movies. I have a very strong appreciation for like the 2018 Halloween, Halloween Kills, Halloween Ends. But I think H2O, in my opinion, had the best. And I'm not saying this like normally when I see you hear this phrase, you think, oh, like love interests. I mean this as in the best chemistry between Laurie Strode and Michael Myers in any of the films would be H2O, in my opinion. Because in all the other movies you see them in, you know, it's either very limited on-screen appearances together, but this one specifically, it really drives home the narrative of like Laurie Strode versus Michael Myers. So that's my opinion. But
Good movie. Everybody needs to go watch it.
amen. But all right. That's a cool one. Did you go see Halloween H2O on your birthday in 1998?
No, probably not on my birthday. I did go see H2O, but I don't know if it was on my birthday or not. Could have been. I
Could have
don't
been.
remember. It might have been. But I for some reason I would probably lean towards probably not actually on my birthday, but I did see it in theater.
I'd say in the hometown that we were from, because there used to be an old chain of theaters. It was called Carasota's. Was that the theater that was that still the theater then? Or is it called something
No,
else?
it was, I think it would have been that because I think it was that until AMC came in and
I
I
think
think
like
and
early 2000s, the AMC took over the Carasota's.
yeah I mean I think I don't know because I'm trying to think of where they all were. Man, I don't know. I mean it had to have been until they built that AMC. I wouldn't
Well, if
I don't
I could be remembering misremembering, but wasn't the Carasota's like that was the movie theater that was behind that store, and then they just put the AMC in the same theater, didn't they?
You're right, but I'm sure. Well, there were more than one Carasotas.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, there was that one. There was one where it's where Target is in that town now. When
Okay.
it used to be Hills, there was a Carasotas right beside it. They only had a handful of screens. And then in the old mall right downtown, before it all got remodeled, it was later that one that just showed like older movies. Remember upstairs? It was a Carasota's. It only had like two screens.
No shit. I did not know that we used to have three theaters in the old town. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, and then there was also the Crump, which
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Crump.
was still showing during part of that time too. So, yeah. But it was weird because they were like all. I think they all kind of. I don't know what I said. I think each of them kind of did, like the one in the downtown mall. It was kind of a, it was by that kids playground and stuff. I think it did more, family-ish movies that were out,
Right.
and things. And, it seems like the one by the hills. I know that's where I fucking saw Jurassic Park like 20 times, was there. 'Cause I worked at Hills. And when the first Jurassic Park, I would literally get off work almost every day for like 2 or 3 weeks. I would get off work and walk right over there and watch Jurassic Park every day. And so they would, I guess they would get a lot of the big movies. And then the other, I don't know, they probably got maybe some big stuff, but then some of the other stuff, I guess, I don't know. And at that, back during a lot of that time, the Crump was the one showing like a second run movie, an older movie and special type things, that you couldn't for a while. When I was really young, the Crump was the theater. I mean, I fucking saw lots of Disney movies there, and I want to know. I was gonna say I saw Empire Strikes Back there, but I'm pretty sure I either saw Empire Strikes Back at the Crump or the Carasotes at the at that downtown mall, one of those two, I think. And then I'm pretty sure I saw Return of the Jedi at the one by Hills. I'm not sure why I remember this. I remember the Star Wars movies very clearly. But anyway, there you have it.
Nah, that was just something random I was thinking about. I was like, I mean, that would have been 98. So I was like, yeah, that certainly would have been what it was. So
It's very
very
weird
cool.
that it's very weird. But see, then there was a time period. Here's the thing. I don't know if the one where the AMC is now, I don't know that that was necessary. I don't know if that was there when the one was there by Hills. It could have been. I can't remember for sure. Because it does seem peculiar that a town that size had at one point four operating movie theaters. But also, I mean, to be fair, two of them only had like two screens. Two, you know, and the one, well, the one in the mall only had two screens. The one, the Crimp only had one screen. The one by Hills, I mean, it only had, I think, maybe two screens. So it's not like these big things. Now, even the one over there, probably where the AMC probably didn't have, you know, probably wasn't, it was probably like maybe what, I don't know, probably a six or eight at most at that time, if that big. Theaters just weren't, they weren't as big as they were now. So I don't know. It's very peculiar to think.
It is.
I'm having trouble remembering what the overlay was. I mean, I don't know. I remember seeing movies at all of them, but I just don't know what the over, if they were all there at the same time, what the overlap of which one was. It's very peculiar because I know at one point in time, the one in the mall, that one turned into the one where they did like the second, like the older movies, you know, when they brought back, it was like whatever dollar movies at that time.
Right.
They did that for quite a while. So I don't know.
I do
So I,
remember that used to be called, they used to call it the dollar theaters, what they used to call
yeah.
it.
Yeah, but one time, at one point in time, it was just a, it was just a normal thing, you know, it didn't do movies. Pretty
Crazy.
cool. Yeah.
We'll flash back in time for you guys. But all right. Well, that pretty much does it for all of our news, birthdays, anniversaries. So we have one upcoming release, and it is, of course, the movie that we're reviewing next week. We have Together, which is now in theaters as of July 30th. And is it described as years into the relationship, Tim and Millie find themselves at a crossroads as they move to the country. With tensions already flaring, an encounter with an unnatural force threatens to corrupt their lives, their love, and their flesh. We will be reviewing this movie next episode. I've seen a lot of trailers for this, and
Some body horror.
it's going to be some, it's going to be some crazy body horror. I mean, it has Dave Franco and
It's
Alison Brie, right?
Alison Brie, yeah.
Crazy. But it looks great.
Which they're a real life couple.
That's what I was going to say. I know they're married in real life, aren't they?
I assume, I don't know, married or not, I'm not sure about, I'm not ever sure. I would assume, but yeah, I know they're together in real life somehow, so no pun intended, I guess. But yeah, so
Killing.
this is gonna be this one's gonna be creepy, I think.
I think so. I think it has a lot of really good potential. Like you said, it very specifically has a lot of body horror elements to it that is, you know, very unique to, I would say, it's unique in the fashion that we've not really seen a body horror movie or a strictly body horror movie like this, or at least what it is perceived to be.
Yeah, I mean, at least nothing even in this realm. It seems like forever. It's weird that we're getting stuff like that, right? And I mean, then we got here in whatever a week or two, we got Toxic Avenger coming out, you know, with that kind of a melt thing,
Right.
and stuff. So it's, man, it's like we're touching on some things that haven't been, hasn't been real prominent. I mean, you know, there's been movies, but not prominent like this, theatrical releases. So it's pretty cool.
Absolutely. So,
Looking forward to them both.
same here. Very much looking forward to Together and, of course, Toxic Avenger, but Together coming out soon. So, we'll have that review for you guys next week. But for now, we will take a short break. And when we come back, we will have our official review of Bambi the Reckoning. Stick around.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod. All right. Welcome back to Listen to Their Screams. We are reviewing Bambi the Reckoning. You know, the peculiar, we were talking about the movie theaters in this town. I'm pretty sure, almost 100% sure, the very first movie I ever saw in theater was at that Crump Theater, and it was the Walt Disney Bambi.
Really?
I'm almost positive. It's at least the first one I remember. I have a memory of. So there you go. But this is a different kind of Bambi. This is Bambi the Reckoning, written by, how do you say that? Rise? Is that how they, I've seen that name a lot, but I never know exactly how it's pronounced. I actually have a friend who has a son with this name. Is it Rise?
I would say either Rise or Reese, maybe.
Reese? Maybe it's Reese. Whatever. I apologize. So we'll say Reese. Reese Warrington. And this is a retelling, which I wasn't aware of, is a retelling of Felix Salten's novel, Bambi, A Life in the Woods. So apparently, old Felix wrote a novel of a kind of a horror retelling of Bambi, and this screenplay is very much an adaptation of that. So that's pretty damn cool. I may have to hunt that novel down. This movie was directed by Dan Allen, starring Roxanne McKee, Tom Mulhern, Nicola Wright, and many, many more. And this is the fourth film that has been released so far in the Twisted Childhood universe, which us fans often affectionately refer to as the Pooniverse. And this has a limited theatrical, it had a th li oh, excuse me, had a limited theatrical release on July 25th. I don't know whether at the time of this release, I don't know whether it will still be in theaters or not. I don't know. If you listened to our last episode, you know we weren't going to be able to see it, but we were very graciously given a screener to this by the production company. So thank you very much. Hopefully we get further screeners from them. Hopefully we've established a relationship. At least I hope so. So I was very much looking forward to seeing this. And I don't think we have to review this very in depth because I don't want to give away much to it, right? It's obviously based on Bambi, with the premise, being Bambi's mother was killed, right? As we all know. But in this movie, in this world, Bambi suffers a lot. Bambi becomes mutated and angry and pissed off and basically becomes a monster, a creature. And there's a lot to it. And much like many of these Pooniverse movies, it has kind of a, I don't want to say fully animated, but it's kind of a storyboard, semi-animated little opening that tells some of the story to get you up to a certain point. I think maybe all of them have had this. It's a nice tool that fits into this well because it also it gives it that feel of that storybook, a fairy tale kind of vibe to it at the beginning. Again, I'm not, if you tell too much or talk too much about the movie, you're going to give away plot points. This movie is not like an in-depth plot movie, but I will say that I think this Bambi the Reckoning might be the best one of these they've done yet. The best, I it might even be, I again, there's been a ton of them. It might be just overall the best public domain horror movie that I've seen yet. At least right off the top of my head, I thought this one really worked. I thought it just fit naturally into the format of a horror movie. It didn't, I mean, yeah, Blood and Honey 2 was fun, and it's cool seeing that and everything else. But you have to. I'm not saying in Bambi you don't have to stretch your imagination a little bit, but it's a little less. It's because we see fucked up wild ass animals doing weird shit all the time. So it gets, again, in this one, it's, I don't know. I just think it works as a creature film better than all the others. And I love all the others, but I think this one really works. It doesn't have that as much hokiness to it to me. I really thought it worked. I thought everybody did great in it. I thought Bambi looked good. I thought it, for the effects they did and what you could tell that they're growing as a production company, probably in their resources. They are getting some theatrical release, which when they started, they weren't getting that, right? I remember back with the first Blood and Honey, they didn't know how they were releasing. Remember? And it came out on Amazon Prime only. Remember that? And so it's like, each one's growing, so they're finally getting some theatrical release. So this is all promising stuff. But I will say so far, I think this I love Blood and Honey too, don't get me wrong. But this might be my favorite, and I think it just works the best so far. Of the things they've tried to adapt. I just think it adapts well into a horror movie. It will be straight up, for a Disney movie, Bambi's mom getting killed at the beginning of that movie is that's a little fucking heavy for that. So it, maybe that's why it parlays over well into this. But I really enjoyed it. I really liked it. It didn't go on too long for me, at least. I thought it was fun, well done by everybody. Nice setup. I don't know. I don't really, I'm not saying this again was not breaking any new ground. This is same stuff they've done with all the movies concept wise. They're just getting a little better at it with each one. So it's not breaking new ground, but I thought it's like, the road they've paved, they're just, it's just sailing a little more smoothly, I think. And I really enjoyed it. So, like, what'd you think of Bambi the Reckoning?
Yeah, I do have to agree with you pretty much on almost every point. I do specifically want to highlight that I do agree that this is by and large the best visually looking of any of the movies so far. Because basically we have the two Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey movies, and then what was the other one other than this one?
Ay caramba.
I'm trying to remember. Was it? It's none of the Mickey Mouse
Man,
ones.
I don't think so. I'll look it up. I have so much trouble remember. Oh, did they do a Piglet one?
No, not. They
Or
are
was
working on it, but it was the.
I have so much trouble knowing which one fits into what because there's so many of these out there. Okay, let's see. The films.
They said this was
Winnie
four.
the yeah, okay. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2, and then there was Peter Pan's Neverland Nightmare, which I've not seen yet. So I guess I
Okay.
cannot comment on that one. It came out in February. Which again, that's a shame because I really wanted to watch it because I heard that had a, the concept sounded good too. But there's so many of these public domain, it's like I feel like some of them are getting lost in the shuffle. And I think that one just kind of flew under the radar and missed for me, so I'll have to catch that one. So I guess I can't compare it to that. But there was a big leap from Blood and Honey and Blood to Blood and Honey 2. Big leap.
Yeah.
And but yeah, again, so okay, I guess I can't rate the Peter Pan one, but I don't know. It would have to be pretty damn good for it to be as good as this one overall.
Yeah, I think so. I was just trying to remember which ones was which because, like you said, they all kind of get mixed together. But I do think that technologically speaking and visually speaking, this movie was by and large better than the Winnie the Pooh movies. I haven't really seen, like you said, the Peter Pan movie. Hopefully, that'll get on streaming somewhere, maybe like Shudder, Screambox. Because I remember it coming out. I just remember it was just sort of under the radar almost, like
Yeah.
as a lot of these movies are. But it was especially under the radar because I remember the trailer, I remember all that. But yeah, I'm just kind of off on that one. But I do
I
agree.
would venture to guess it's on Amazon or the
Oh,
other
probably.
two. I'd venture to guess it's there. So I don't know.
Gotcha.
Not a fan of
But
the Amazon app, but
I was going to say, it's like the worst app for them to be on, and they probably aren't included with Prime. They're probably like, you got to pay more money
oh.
with them, too.
Yeah, the Blood and Honey movies were not included in Prime, the Prime stuff. You had to, it's an additional purchase. So I'm sure this one is too. But I wonder, yeah, I don't know. I wonder if it's on Fandango, Vudu, whatever it is, though, because I'm pretty sure the Blood and Honeys are on there now, I think. So I don't know. Anyway, I'm sorry, it's sidetracked. But I want to research that because I do want to watch Peter Pan as well. So, but anyway, circle back, continue on about Bambi.
No, it's all good. But yeah, absolutely. So with Bambi, I think what we really, in my opinion, what really helped the movie is that they obviously had a bigger budget. They were able to use a little more technology, a little bit more of like the CGI and some practical effects. A lot of the kills were really nice. They had some nice gruesome kills in the movie that really showcased the creature feature aspect. And they definitely made Bambi seem like this larger than life monster, and they really gave you the impression and the feeling that like this was a very untenable situation. But something I did not expect is that later in the movie, it made me a little sad. I think Dave may know the exact scene that I'm talking about, and I'm not going to ruin it because I think everybody should watch this. But Bambi's not doing this for just for no reason. Like, there's a very good reason why. Bambi is doing what they're doing in this movie. And by the end of the movie, it kind of made you a little sad. It made you really feel for the creature and that, oh, maybe they aren't the bad guy. Maybe that's just the narrative that's being, portrayed. And There were some really satisfying kills towards the end of the film that really, and me to me, kind of tied off the movie in a nice little bow. So I'm really excited to see what they do with Bambi. After the credits, and this isn't much of a spoiler, but it does say Bambi will return. There is the Pooniverse, I think they called it, like Monsters Assemble.
This the supposed team up, which I believe in that poster, what I think it had Pooh riding Bambi.
I think so.
That's a sight to
So
behold.
it really is, and it's so fantastic, and it's got all the other characters on there, like the Pinocchio and
That's right.
I think Peter Pan and all that. So, but yeah, so I'm super excited to see what they do with Bambi and the upcoming Pooniverse crossover. But I truly enjoyed this movie, and I'm super thankful to the folks who got us the screener, because I would not have been able to watch this movie for the show without the screener. So, as per usual, the theater, there is a theater near me that's showing it, but they're showing it at the most ungodly times during the week. And I'm like, bro, like, it's a work week. Like, I can't show up at 10 p.m. to watch a movie and then go to work the next day at 6.
But I think like the others, like pretty much any of the public domain horror movies, particularly probably the ones in this, the Twisted Childhood universe, it's either, I think it's, if you like them, I think you're gonna like them. If, even the bad ones, there's a, I don't know, there's a little something I think in there that's at least makes you chuckle at the sometimes the ironic nature of it, that's and then if you're someone, like Monica or whatever, who just does not like these at all, I don't care how good this movie is, you're not gonna like it, because you're not gonna get past that it's Bambi or whatever it might be. It's just, it's not gonna happen. So I think they know that, right? It's either a, you're not gonna convince people. I mean, it's just, more or less just, you've got your audience, and they're leaning into it, and it's but I do feel like it is growing a bit, but I think that's just exposure, right? There's it's just, people becoming aware of these movies being out there, and having a limited theatrical release is going to help, because even people that were going to see something else, if they see the name Bambi the Reckoning or see a poster up in their theater, it might be enough to spark the interest of, oh, what's that? And you may hook a new fan. So but I have to say, well done. Well done with Bambi the Reckoning. I fully enjoyed it. Again, not breaking any new ground. It's just perfecting what they've already been doing, and getting better and better at it. So it makes me very excited to see how it develops and what they do from here on out. And it does make me very curious again about that novel. If this was an adaptation of that, and this, because again, it's not a complicated story, but it doesn't really need to be. Again, I think the story, the Bambi story, just a little bit of tweaking worked very well, at adapting over. So, all right. So let's rate this thing. Again, a fun movie. I really liked it, but I don't think it's, breaking the mold. So I think this is a, for me, it's probably going to be about a 3.5 out of 5. I think it's a little better than the middle. Again, like, I don't remember what we reviewed last week. What did we review last week? I'm pretty sure I gave it a 3.5 as well, and I don't remember what it was now. But anyway, super fun. So better than, a little better than the middle of the ground, but not quite to that 4 level where there's, something so breathtaking or so mind blowing about it. It's just doing it really, really well. Definitely a movie that I will definitely rewatch at some point. I would really like to probably sit down. I'd love to sit down and watch all 4 of these movies, just one right after another again. But so I'm giving it a 3.5 out of 5. Ike, what about you?
Yep. To answer your other question, we reviewed, I know what you did last summer, last week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. There you go.
But yeah, no, I do think that 3.5 out of 5 is a fair rating, and it is also my rating. I think that the big thing here is that this wasn't, I mean, truly, as all of these movies are, they're not breaking any new ground. They are quite literally retelling a story that we all know and love. And so there is a lot that you can do in that realm and on that concept. So it is just a matter of how well can you do it and how well can you push to get basically to that level. And I think Bambi did a good job. I think Bambi did stand out and it did go above and beyond. But I don't think it quite crept into the four realm because, like you said, I mean, four is when they really start, pounding out through new stuff, and it's really revolutionary. And it just quite, wasn't quite that level. I think that it while it's marginally better than the two other movies that we have seen, I still think that it kind of exists in that 3.5 realm. And I think that maybe as we progress, we might get ourselves a four out of these movies. It's
Maybe.
just a matter of time, hopefully.
And like you said, again, Bambi is also a visually, it's a good looking movie. They did a good job with that. So, but like we mentioned earlier, next episode we will be reviewing the movie together, and hopefully, we won't meld together as we do that. So, but we'll see. Tune in next episode to see what happens with that. We would like to say thank you to our wives and then all of the listeners and followers for all your support and interactions. And speaking of interaction, make sure you subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much all the platforms. Just search for Listen to Their Screams, or just listen the number two and screams. You'll find us there. And please interact with us there. Next episode, not only are we reviewing the movie together, but it will be our first episode of August, which means we will be playing Stump the Co-Host, the horror trivia game. It's always a highlight. People seem to like that. I'm when we do that, hopefully they're playing along as well, but that is will also be coming next episode. So, before we close this one out, Ike, anything you want to add?
Oh man, yeah, I'm super excited to see Together. I am also seeing another movie, seeing Fantastic Four, prior to this movie, early in this movie, this episode coming out. I'm super excited about that. But otherwise, no, I mean, just I'm excited to see Together. Hopefully, see it this weekend, and yeah, it should be a fun time. I think it'll be good.
I want to see Fantastic Four too, but I'm not sure. I mean, I have to wait a little bit. I got a, with the pending move, busy a few days ahead of me. But I will say that I think it looks like I Together will probably be the first movie that I'll see after the move, I would venture to
Yeah.
guess. So that's pretty cool. So anyway, yeah, but yeah, I need to see. I still need to see Superman. Oh God, I'm so I need to see. These are theater movies that I want to see. I want to see them, in theaters before they hit anything else, but we'll see, hopefully. All right then, but anyway, until next episode, when we will be reviewing together, when we will be playing the Stump the Co-Host horror trivia game, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.